When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam, and we are here today to talk about that fearful, terrifying term, change.
How do people change? Can people change? Because a lot of people on the internet, right, say people don't change. Do you think people can change?
Absolutely.
I think we wouldn't be therapists if we didn't believe that.
Yeah, if we didn't believe people could change, we're in the wrong industry. We should have gone into finance. Yeah. I've always believed that, and maybe like kind of naively, I couldn't understand why people were so resistant to change and changing. And then I leaned into my own work to change and realized how freaking difficult that is and triggering and overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I have a tremendous amount of compassion and empathy for people that are daunted by the idea of change and taking on change. Whatever facet that is, like whatever spectrum or issue it lands on, right? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be like daunting and intimidating because I just lived it.
Yeah.
What it requires more so than the change itself is the commitment to yourself. Like a commitment that you're going to choose to honor what you need and what you want as opposed to prioritizing what you think other people think you should want or what other people have like flat out told you like you should want this, and making that decision for you and committing to trusting that you are capable of like following through with what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because I think that there's like big – I think there's change that we want, right? We want to be able to make a change and we want to be different. That people get very frustrated that they can't change. And then there's like the change that, right, like is happening to us externally that we don't want, that we have to deal with and we have to cope with that. And I think most people who come to therapy want a change. That's the point. That's why they're there. They want to be different. They want to change. And I think it's – I have so much compassion also for – and I've struggled with this a lot of like how do we change – what makes someone change? Because I think there's a lot of hopelessness that sometimes comes before, right, a big change of am I ever going to change? And change is so interesting to me because it's so unquantifiable. I'm sure you have the experience too. A lot of times like the experiences as a therapist of the people who change the most, a lot of time change is kind of like you're planting all these seeds and nothing happens, nothing happens, nothing happens. People want to give up. And then all of a sudden, we have this big change. We have a big growth spurt that happens. But we can't see a lot of the change that happens below the surface.
One of like the favorite quotes that I told myself through this whole process, like just thinking about what you said, is you don't eat the fruit the day you plant the seed. And I love like the planting metaphor because I think it is so powerful because there is so much happening. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen like a cross section of like, you know, those like the clear glass and like you can see the dirt and someone will like plant like a seed or something down below and then like do the time lapse. And like you'll see that like you know, there's like 6 inches of dirt on top of the seed, but then there's this whole world like happening underneath. And then all of a sudden, like at the end is when you see it like spurt through and you can see it on the other side. And so I'm really glad like you brought that up, because I think for me, that's been really powerful in my own journey, especially as I've, you know, I had a business, it failed. I decided to become a content creator, get into all of this stuff, lean into, you know, building like essentially a private practice, right? Obviously I'm a part of your group, but you know, I built a lot of my clientele, right? In terms of like exposure. And so, yeah, that idea of having to have patience with the process and to commit to like doing something every day that like moves it forward. And some days you have really big days. Like when the moving truck showed up at my house, that was like, oh my God, like this is, this is a big day. Like something huge, like kind of sprouted through that. Same thing with like a couple weeks ago when I went to the beach. For the first time. That was kind of a big like, oh, like I did it. Like it's done. It's over.
You're here.
Like,
you moved to Florida. You're at a beach.
I'm at a beach and I'm going to be home in 40 minutes and live the rest of my life. And it's not a vacation and I don't have to worry about getting to the airport. Like this is where I live now. So yeah, I think, which goes back to earlier what I said with this idea of like if you – because you had asked me before we hopped on if I would like kind of talk about my experience a little bit with how I leaned into change.
How did you decide that you – or how did you know you wanted to move out of Salt Lake City and that you wanted to move?
I hated Utah from the moment I got there. But because of my –
You've been there for a long time.
I've been there for a long time. But because when I got there, I was still very much involved in the Mormon church. I had moved into like the Mormon community. I immediately threw myself in the Mormon community. You kind of like push all that to back your mind and you're like, oh, it's just me. I'm the problem. And so I spent years and years and years and years trying to fit in, trying to adapt, round peg, square hole, over and over and over again. And I realized probably like 2019 that I was like, this is not. I do not like it here. I'm not happy. I don't enjoy it. Whatever. And then even then, I still kind of was like, well, like maybe, you know, I have all these friends. I have this job. I, you know, built this life here. It's comfortable. It's familiar. So then I was like, okay, like I'll start a business. That'll make it, that'll make it all better. So I did that. Then I, you know, kind of started trying to Utah has like a massive entrepreneur community. I tried really hard to build relationships through there and I did. And people were very kind and very nice. But then it was kind of like, it wasn't like finding my tribe. And I was like, oh, like, come on. Like this, like I'm doing all this work. It's not working. Then my business partner backs out. And that was almost exactly like 2 years ago. That was when I officially was like, I have to do something different. Like this isn't going to work. And so at that point I had started with therapy for women. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to lean into building up my clientele so that I can have like a solid financial foundation to like move where I wanted to move to. And it took 2 years for me to like figure that out, primarily because I hate, one of the biggest things I hate when you're talking about like moving physically is when people will say to you, especially if you're single, you can go anywhere. And I'm like, okay, I want you to flip that on you. And I want you to pretend you're looking at a map of the globe. And go like, wow, I can go anywhere. Where am I going to go? Like, how does that work? What do I want? What do I want to do? What do I want my life to look like? What is important to me? What matters to me? Am I looking to move somewhere just temporarily and kind of bounce around? Am I wanting to go somewhere and put down roots? Like, there are so many questions that you have to sort through. And so many of those questions can become roadblocks. If you don't see them as building blocks. And so I think a lot of times with change, And this isn't just for like moving physically. This is if you are wanting to end a relationship, if you're wanting to get a divorce, if you are wanting to change jobs, change careers, if you are changing friend groups, if right, like this.
Just changing your mental health.
Just changing your mental health. Like any, if you are listening to this, I'm not saying like I have mastered and figured out the way to like change. We're just saying like I just lived through it. And so like sharing my insights of, I think what I realized is a lot of the questions for a long time that I was asking myself of the like, but how, the what, the where, the why, the when, the how, like all of those for a while became like stop signs to me.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, well, like if I'm coming up against these questions, that means I shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. When actually it's the opposite. That's the recipe. Mm-hmm. Like all of those questions that come up and that you ask yourself and you talk about, the finding any version of an answer to any of those questions is going to slowly bring together the direction of the decision that you are going to make. Mm-hmm. Meaning the decision that is best for you.
Yeah.
Like if you are spending time sitting with those questions authentically and finding answers and looking for insight that feels validating. Mm-hmm. And notice I'm not saying like comforting. Mm-hmm. Because comfort is a little bit of an illusion. Because I can tell you, I was really comfortable.
Yeah.
I was really, really comfortable.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was kind of like shriveling up.
Yeah.
In my life. And so I spent basically like all of 2023 doing all of this like internal work and this analysis. And I was like building out my career and all these sorts of things. And I was like, where do I want to go? Do I want to go to the Northeast? Like I visited DC. I went back to New York. I was like looking at Boston. My parents are based in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was like, do I just go to where my family is? And that's like familiar and all this sort of stuff. And I was thinking. And then when my sister came to me and was like, I want to move to Florida. And I was like, no, like, I don't want that. I don't like it. It's hot and it's muggy and like, bleh. But then, you know, I realized you were here and we were kind of talking about taking our partnership to the next level with like this podcast and all of that. And so I kind of had to look at myself and say, okay, you wanted to move where you know people. Boom. Mm-hmm. Two people, you know, one of whom is already established there can help guide you. Two, you've been wanting to, you know, have something completely different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get more different moving from the mountains to the beach. You wanted to get out from this cultural ring that you feel stuck in. Doesn't get more different than that. You want to live a more full life and you want to meet people and you want to be around people and you want to just have like a long, deep breath. And Tampa is an up and coming city. It's a very transient city. There's a lot of people moving here, just like you in my age range of like early 30s. And I had to like look in the mirror and be like, all of those values that you spoke about being important to you, this solution was just presented that ticks all those boxes. And I remember I went to London in January. And I can't, I don't remember if I told you this. I was there for 10 days. Now looking back on how the rest of this year has gone, the universe was like, we'll give her the best trip of her life. Because the rest of this year is going to be a metal bat to the shins. But I, so my sister was there with me the first couple of days and my other really good friend was also there. We kind of overlapped, but the day my sister left, I was, my friend was busy doing other stuff. And so I was on my own. And so the hotel we were at was right across from Kensington Palace. And there's this huge park there called Kensington Gardens. And there's all these walking paths and it's super busy and it's absolutely beautiful, even in the winter. And so Kendra had left. It was in the morning. And I went and I walked the whole park. It's like 2 miles. And I just like roamed and I had my AirPods in and I was listening to the most depressing music you've ever heard of in your life. And I was just thinking. And I made the commitment to myself where I said, you know you have to do this. And you know it's going to be uncomfortable. And you know you're going to feel lonely. And you know it's going to feel challenging. Mm-hmm. And you still have to do it. And you can no longer prioritize your excuses over your needs. Mm-hmm. And I think there's kind of this myth that like the second you start honoring your needs, like everything gets really easy.
Mm, so true.
And it's actually the opposite for a little bit because you have to figure out, well, you also realize there's a lot in your life that's not working for you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that aren't working for you. You haven't been honoring what you need for so long. There's a part of you that doesn't even recognize what you need anymore. So you have to go through that work of figuring out like, well, what does that even look like for me?
Yeah.
And so the walk in that park, it was there like 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Like I just like was walking, yeah, like thinking. And I finally sat at this bench and in front of Kensington Palace, there's like this huge pond and they have swans. Mm-hmm. And I remember two swans went by me and they both looked at me at the same time. And I just was like, I'm going to move this year. Mm-hmm. Like I had gone through this whole thing of like, but what if, blah, 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 blah. And I just said to myself, like, I'm going to move.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of obstacles and a lot of hurdles to that over this last year. And I think in a lot of situations, there's a lot of people that would have said like, well, it's easier to just stay put.
Yeah.
But I knew in my bones that I needed something different.
Yeah.
And even though it was going to bring new challenges, I needed new challenges. Mm-hmm. And all of this internal work that I had done needed a new space to stretch. Mm-hmm. And to put myself out there and to do new things and to follow through on all of these promises that I've made to myself, because I was historically bad at breaking the promises that I made to myself. I was a master at that. I never followed through on anything.
Yeah.
And the last 4 or 5 years have been a masterclass in figuring out how to like follow through. Mm-hmm. And that's what this was, even with my dad getting sick, my brother needing help, you know, kind of financial stuff that happened and friends and like all this sorts of stuff, I still committed to doing it and I still followed through. Mm-hmm. And now on the other side, there's been moments where it's a little lonely, but it's been the most wild, fulfilling decision I've ever made. And to be on the other side of that and now be exploring the fun parts of it. Mm-hmm. It's been a very, very fascinating experience for me.
I think I have two things that I really wanted to highlight in what you said. I think number one, I think there is this myth that when you make a decision or you're a right, when you've entered out of the process of gathering data about the decision, I think there's this myth that you will then feel good, that you will feel like – and I think that's why we stay in the data gathering space. And there are 5 stages of change, if anyone cares, right? There's pre-contemplation before you've decided anything. You don't even realize you need a change. And then a lot of us stay in contemplation for a really long time, which is this data gathering stage, right? Like, should I not? Pros, cons, hemming, hawing, trying to decide what we want to do. And a lot of us get stuck there. Or I think we also, this is where like those seeds are kind of germinating under the surface and we don't see anything. So we say nothing's happening. I haven't figured it out. There's no point. I'm going to walk away. Or to your point, there's an obstacle that happens while this is sort of germinating. So then we're just mm-hmm. like, not going to do it. You know, that's kind of, we get into preparation when we start to prepare for this change. And if an obstacle comes our way, sometimes we abandon and give up.
Yeah.
But there is always this big tension before, when we've made the choice and before we start taking action on the choice. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is one of the biggest reasons people don't make that choice, is because they think they will feel better, they will feel calm, they will feel excited. We so often want to feel differently before we make the change, and we don't realize that no matter what, a change is going to be hard and scary, and we will always have to take that jump between where we are and where we're going. And there is no amount of data gathering that will prevent you from having to make that jump. It will always be a jump.
Exactly. Like, that's, and that was like, to a T, that is where I got stuck for a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really wild experience to realize, like, oh, I know what I need to do, and it's going to be the hardest thing
mm-hmm.
I'll ever do.
And I think sometimes we bury our head in the sand and we don't want to see it. For a long time, right? Whether you need to change jobs, whether you decide that you want to have a child or not have a child, whether you, you know, need to end a relationship, whatever. I think that it, because it's scary, because it's hard, mm-hmm. we cannot want to look at it sometimes. Yeah. Or even, like, I think about it a lot of, because I would say, obviously, there's been a lot of big changes in my life, but I always go back to, for myself, like, recovery was the biggest change because I moved a lot growing up, so moving is not always the biggest change for me, because I think I tend to do the opposite. I'm someone who, like, when things are not going the way I want to, I, like, try to change my external circumstances to hope that my internal ones change. So I think my biggest change has been getting sober and getting into recovery from an eating disorder, and I spent a really long time justifying to myself that my behavior was okay, or it would just, like, go away, quote unquote, or I would just grow out of it, and not facing the fact that, like, I needed to actually, right, if I wanted to get into recovery, I had to stop drinking. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Right? Well, like,
that is what is so frustrating sometimes, is it, on the surface, it does sound incredibly simple.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, with the move, like, it's very freaking simple. You pick a place and you move. Like, it's
right.
And there were some people that, like, push back on me, and they're like, you're making this complicated, and, like, you don't need to. And maybe I was. Like, maybe while I was stuck in that contemplation phase, I was hurting my own feelings. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
But sometimes that I think happens. We need to.
Yeah. You, like.
Like, we need to hurt our feelings, I think, sometimes, to be, like, pushed to do the next thing sometimes.
Yes. And, well, and it's the same thing, right? Like, if we're talking about recovery as well and the transition out of addiction, like, you have to be in, like, a pretty garbage place to give up that comfort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? To give up that coping skill that feels superior to all other mm-hmm. coping skills, because every mm-hmm. other coping skill is going to involve you having to have feelings.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, yeah, I think, yes, it's okay to say the answer itself, or the answer that you're wanting, or the thing that you're working towards. Yes, it is very simple for someone else to say to you, like, well, just get a divorce. Just break up. Like, well, just do this or just do that. Like, yes. And for some people, they have this incredible ability to just do what they have to do and fuck the consequences, and they move on and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think I also want to offer compassion. If you're listening and you're going through a change, or you've gone through a change, mm-hmm. or you're wanting to change something, and there's this, like, tension within you, and mm-hmm. you feel like you're going back and forth, don't give up on that tension. Stick with it. Like, keep fighting it. Keep fighting through it. Keep making any sort of mental effort and physical effort that you can to commit to this idea of, even if you're not 100% certain of what you want or what it is that you want mm-hmm. to do, but you know in your marrow that something needs to be different.
Yeah.
don't stop. If you are feeling the discomfort, that means you are doing the work. Mm-hmm. If you are experiencing sadness, if you feel like you're starting to experience grief, mm-hmm. if anger is starting to come to the surface, if all of that storm feels like it's coming up, mm-hmm. that is the storm that you need to sit in.
Yeah.
And I know I know that it sounds like I am asking you to do something that is just so counterintuitive to what we are socialized to want. Mm-hmm. But that storm within you, whatever it is, whatever it looks like, that is the thing that when it dissipates, you will have that clarity mm-hmm. of what you want to do and what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I think the reason I brought up that, like, what on the surface sounds so silly, like, well, I was walking around Kensington Palace in London and, you know, having the trip of my life. But for me, mm-hmm. what that moment represents, it was the moment where the storm finally dissipated. Mm. The internal storm for me, the internal, like, back, forth, right, wrong, yes, no, what do I do? That was the culmination of a year
yeah.
of really, really deep internal work and discomfort. Nothing mm-hmm. about my external life really changed for about a
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
While I did all of that
yeah.
inside and thought about it and wrestled with it and figured out, am I really not happy in Utah? Mm-hmm. Am I just not living life authentically in Utah? Mm-hmm. Could I do that? Do I need to move to a different town, even if it's just mm-hmm. like 20 minutes up the road? Mm-hmm. Like I went through that. I processed of like, is staying really that bad, right? Like, yeah. am I running away from things? Am I, like, you know, all of this? And sitting with that and sorting through that made me realize, no, I want to live in the superior time zone again. Which is the East Coast, right? Like, I realized, like, I'm from the Northeast. I wanted to get back there, but it ended up mm-hmm. not panning out, and I'm totally at peace with that. But I knew I wanted to be back out East. And when I was finally sitting in that moment that I had to myself, I was all alone mm-hmm. and just quiet. I was able to realize, like, whoo, okay. Mm-hmm. I know what I need to do. And because of all of that internal work that I had done, I finally felt ready to lean into the next phase of work, which was the action piece.
Yes. Or preparation first.
The preparation. Yeah. I was ready to move into preparation. I was ready to start really dialing in and focusing on how to carry this out. Mm-hmm. And then once I did the preparation, I felt ready to jump into the action. And when the moving truck showed up, I felt ready.
If you are listening to Sam and I talk all about change and thinking, ugh, I could really use a therapist's help with figuring out how to change, I would love for you to check out my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We have therapists located in 43 states across the country. And if you're local to the Philly area, we have 3 office locations there. And if you actually live in the Tampa Bay area, we are looking to start opening offices there this year. We're also looking to open an office in New Jersey. So check us out at therapyforwomencenter.com. Well, what I was going to ask you too, because I think a lot of times I love what you just said about there's like a moment often of stillness. I think this is why I'm so interested in talking about ambivalence, like around motherhood, deciding to have mm-hmm. kids or not, because I do think, similar to what you said, I think that the storm, the ambivalence, the hemming and hawing and questioning is very important and does give us a lot of answers. And if we just
yes.
act like ambivalence is bad, we're like missing out on a lot of interesting things that are trying to tell us something interesting mm-hmm. and important. And what a disservice to just act like, right, like in your case, like, well, you've lived there for forever, so you should just stay. Or you, of course, everyone has kids, so you should just have kids, right? Like, or of course you're right. married, you should just stay married, whatever. When there's something that you're questioning that you want to, and I think the questioning is so powerful. And I think that sometimes what happens is we have this moment of peace, we feel an answer, we feel settled, we kind of decide. And then we start going into preparation or thinking mm-hmm. about the preparation. And then all the anxiety and ambivalence rushes back in. We have to think about the logistics. Like, I'm sure there was a moment for you after you decided, and then you had to be like, oh my God, how am I going to move across the country? How am I going to like the logistics of it, right? Of the moving truck, and how do I bring my stuff, and what does this look like? And blah, 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 right? In the same way that if someone decides to have a child, for example, or get sober or leave someone, then you have the logistics that come back in. And I think it's very important. I want to distinguish for people that that is a different phase, right? Like you're mm-hmm. starting to get into preparation. And I think we can think the ambivalence or anxiety that rushes back in the preparation means that we shouldn't do it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Right? Like yep. we combine 100%. Those steps and think, oh no, I actually shouldn't. I was wrong in that moment of peace I had and I made the decision. When you're not realizing that that is a separate stage and yes. you're just dealing with the new ambivalence, the new fear that comes mm-hmm. with preparation, because there will be new stuff that comes with the preparation. When the action comes, that might be a more that comes. And then actually, right, there's five stages of change. Maintenance, which is kind of like it's where you are, Sam, right? Like you've yeah. moved. Then there's even – so fun, guys. It's anxiety and every step.
Every part of this sucks.
Right? Then when you're in – you've moved, the aftermath, maintaining staying there like comes with more doubt a lot of times mm-hmm. too. And I think people think the anxiety means we made the wrong choice. And that is not necessarily true. Anxiety is there because it's new, it's uncertain, you're learning, you're growing. And yeah, I mean, like my best I have a lot of advice, but like my best advice I think in this is like anxiety doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Anxiety is like illuminating the tension. Mm. But I think people really think anxiety is a marker and how we feel is a marker. And emotions are not always markers of, right? Like current Fact. Emotions, right? Yeah, they're not always a perfect representation. Just because you have anxiety doesn't mean you're doing something wrong.
That is like so poignant to me because I think when anxiety is a primal instinct that we mm-hmm. all have that is meant to keep us alive.
Yes.
So literally it's the thing that when you go to bed at night on the day a bill is due and your head pops off the pillow and you go, oh my God, I didn't pay that. That is yeah. meant to keep you alive. That's meant yeah. to keep from getting your shit repoed, right? Like that's, and yeah, that's just
meant
like kind
to
of
keep you from running from like a bear.
Yes.
Or keep yeah, you alive like, from being eaten by a bear.
Yes. To keep like your survival senses heightened. So when we're talking about anxiety in kind of the modern sense, mm-hmm. a lot of it has been hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been taught how to deal with it. It's either like you completely ignore it or you lean into it completely and let it dictate your life and mm-hmm. decide what you do or you don't do. Yeah. When in reality, there's a space in the middle. Mm-hmm. And something that I had to do towards the end of last year was recognize that I had to make peace with the existence of these feelings within me. Mm. I had to stop this like fight of like, well, it has to go away, or like when I feel this way, I'll do this, or right. Like mm-hmm. there had to be a change in the power structure mm-hmm. of what I engaged with and what I didn't internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to recognize that just as you said, like the anxiety coming up, the anger coming up, the grief coming up, any of those things coming up, was an indication that I had to take a moment to pay attention, mm-hmm. right? To kind of listen, like sit yeah. with like, why am I feeling this right now? Like, well, what happened today that came up that made me feel this way? Or like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I'm – also, I think I want to call attention to, I am like stupidly sentimental. Like, truly, it's ridiculous. Like, the favorite grocery store that I had when I walked out of there the last time, I'm like, wow.
I am that way too.
This is the last time I'm going to be in Harmon's.
I am like that too. Like, I had the worst experience in college ever. I like hated college because I was like a lunatic. I did too.
Different reasons.
I hated it because I was, you know, like in my addiction. And I remember like being so sad. And it's just like, what are you talking about, Amanda? Yeah, like,
why are you feeling this way? And so I think there were a lot of moments where I could have seen that as like, oh, this means like you don't want to leave.
Yes.
Like you're feeling this because like you want to stay.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I'm a human being that's multifaceted and I've had experiences here and I have memories here and I have things that matter to me here and I get to grieve that. And that's okay. And the grief that I'm feeling is indicative that I'm making a huge change, not indicative that I'm making a huge mistake.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it was like all of this internal work. And I think I want to – part of why I have been like talking about this move a little bit more on my socials and things and making content around it is because I do think there's kind of this like – movie montage sequence we all have in our minds that like the second we change, like we make all the right moves and everything works out and there's like a fun peppy song attached to it and it's funny and like we're getting our spark back and like all this stuff. And like, yeah, there were moments where I had that. But I think I just want to normalize, like, if you feel that when you ask yourself these questions, whatever the change is, whatever you're thinking of, you're wanting to do differently in your life, any of the tension or negativity that you feel surrounding that has no bearing in meaning of like, oh, this is dumb or I need to stop this or this is a bad idea. Like, sit with it and embrace it and see it as like nobody has ever died from a feeling. They have died from the actions they take as a result of the feeling. But to simply feel sadness, to feel anxiousness, to feel anger, to feel resentment, embarrassment, whatever the negative, difficult emotion is, to sit in that space is not going to end you. It's like the mental gymnastics you do around the emotion that cause the exhaustion and prevent you from actually just processing it.
Right. The energy we spend trying to not process it.
Yes. Like the mental energy of like, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't do that. Like, oh, but that's, I don't really feel that way. Like, no, like that's me. Right. Like it's so futile. And like, I have clients come to me and they're like, well, what? Like I'm feeling my emotions. Like, why am I stuck in them? Because you're not feeling them.
You're judging them.
You're judging them and you're shaming yourself for having these feelings.
Yep.
Instead of just saying like, I feel sad today. And as a result, I'm going to be a little gentle with myself. Or I'm feeling angry. And so I'm going to be fucking angry. And I'm going to warn the people in my life that I'm angry. And it is not about them.
Yes.
It's about me. And like – that is how you actually sit with all of the mess and that storm that I spoke about earlier, in honoring all the parts of you. And that to do something big and to do something different is bold. And it's brave and it's crazy. And there will be people who will project onto you like you would not believe and will say like, I wouldn't do that like that. Well, I would, oh, I could never do that. Like those people get to be over here and you get to just focus on you. And I think that's like the biggest message that through just like being a little more open about all this is saying like, it's meant to be messy.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I think that is the whole point. And it's a sign that you're in it and you're doing the work, not a sign that there's something wrong.
Yeah. Maybe there's some, like, part of why we're going through this is because maybe there is something wrong on the external.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely. I think you said that really beautifully, that like to be experiencing these things, to be having these thoughts, to be having these desires is innately human. And I think for women specifically, we are socialized and taught to betray ourselves so often in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And we are taught to give and give and give with no thought to us. Mm-hmm. And we are taught to ignore what goes on within us. And it's minimized, right? Like mm-hmm. think anytime you have a feeling, are you on your period? Like,
yeah.
Are you on your this? Like mm-hmm. there are excuses and language that we have put around the female emotional experience. Mm-hmm. And actually, I hate the word female. The emotional experience of women. Mm-hmm. And I just want to hold space for, like, you get to be complicated. Mm-hmm. And you get to have depth. And you get to have conflicting feelings. And you get to have parts of yourself that feel conflicting. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you're not smart, you're not put together, you're not capable. Mm-hmm. To embrace that truth and honor all of that is to honor you. And that was the lesson I had to learn.
And my lukewarm take is that a lot of people feel really conflicting. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they're probably repressing their emotions and not super aware.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Yes.
So, yeah. Oh, we should do an episode about, I mean, anxiety, but also mm-hmm. like being sentimental. Have you ever read the book Bittersweet by Susan Cain?
No.
It's great. Oh, it's great. It's about how some people are more like nostalgic essentially than other people.
It's so – like, do you know Josie Belka?
Yes, yes.
I – like, one time I – it was so great.
Well, I sent her the poem, I think. Or she did LOML.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
As a poem instead of a song.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, you sent that to me.
Yeah, I was like crying and I sent it to you. I cry listening to all of her stuff.
Oh my God. At the end of every episode of Great British Baking Show, I will cry. In every episode of Call the Midwife, I will cry. All of it. I cry so easily. But yeah, like Josie one time, she said, like, people will say to me all the time, like, oh, like, I wish I felt as deeply as you. And she goes, no, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. She goes, the second my friend gets out of the car, I'm like, wow. This passenger seat and what it means and like all this stuff where she's like, I'll see a squirrel and be like, wow, do they have a family too? Do mm-hmm. they have feelings? And I'm like, that is, it's so painfully accurate. Mm-hmm. And I like, we should absolutely do an episode on sentimentality because I could go for another 40 minutes about like, that was part of what I think made committing to my move so difficult was like the sentimentality of everything.
Yeah. I think the last thing I want to leave people with is just because I think it's hard, as we kind of said, like I'm more someone who – and I think a lot of us are people who are like wherever you go, there you are. And we seek – I think there's like two general types of people. There are people who struggle more with taking a change and then there are people who try to use external change to solve internal things.
Yes, 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 yes.
And as someone who falls on the other side, what I would encourage you, if you're listening and you're like, I don't know, am I just trying to escape and that's why I want to leave? Mm. What I would say is like the big question to reflect on is your past. Is do you often do this or do you often have a pattern of like for myself, when things happen that I don't like, I'm done. I'm like a fleer sort of.
Yeah.
That is my go-to. I will like leave a relationship. Like I'm always the one that's my first – right?
Flight.
Fight, flight, freeze. I'm a flight.
You will.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I think looking at your response, are you more of a fight, flight, or freeze when it comes to stress? Also, what does your past tell us? Are you someone who in your past has sought external change to feel differently? And has it been effective? Was it something that you did feel like you needed the change? Or looking back, is it something that you tried to change something externally to solve internal feelings.
Hmm. And tacking on to that.
Yeah.
This is part of the work.
Yes.
Is recognizing the patterns mm-hmm. that have prevented you from implementing change that feels authentic and rewarding. Mm-hmm. And to spend time hashing through that. And spending some time with yourself and deciding, you know, all those ways I reacted in the past, how do I need to react differently? Mm-hmm. What would new me do?
Yeah.
And then you do that thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening and for your support. Yes.
Yep. Please rate, review, subscribe, comment, share, all of it. We deeply appreciate everybody who has reviewed, everybody who has rated the pod. We love doing this. It's what we talk about all the time. And so thank you for listening.
Yeah. And if you want us to answer your question or you have a topic, you can call us at 813-444-8683 or reach out to us on Instagram. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.